Everyone, and welcome back to PSC. It's 8:97 and it's the 25th of May and it's sweltering. And Joe and I are joined today by Mark Mockern. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Ted, and hello, Joe. Great to be back.
Good to have you hello. Back. Yeah. How long has it been since you've been on? I can't remember now.
Was it January? I did this the last time, and then you checked back, and then you were like, Mark, it was like 2 years ago you were on.
Let me have a look. Down the bottom of our recording notes, I've got all the shows since Joe and I were on our own. Here we go, January the 19th.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, spot on then.
Yeah, I know, got it right. I was embarrassed the last time, Joe, you know, just...
And Joe, how are you, sir? Sweltering?
Yeah, I shouldn't complain because I do like the hot weather usually, but I got a bit red yesterday in the garden, so I am absolutely sweltering, yeah.
Oh dear. Well, perhaps we'll have a shorter show and skip off out of it to plunge into the sea somewhere. Anyone near the sea? You're not near the sea. I'm near the sea. Are you near the sea, Mark?
Well, so I'm up in Clydebank, so I'm not far from the Clyde, right. But I'm not quite sure I would recommend a dive in that, you know.
Probably not a good idea. Okay, phoneshowchat.uk is our website where you'll find links to all the stuff we're going to talk about today. Don't forget it's got two S's in the middle. TedSalmon.com is the best place to go for everything else, really. All our MeWe groups and audio podcasts. And PodHub UK is where it all hubs out with Steve Litchfield, of course. I'm not sure if we were doing it this way when you were last on, Mark, but today, and for the last few times, we've launched straight into Guest Gala and we've given them an open forum and let them get on with it. And then we'll see where it leads. And if we haven't got time for our stuff afterwards, then no big deal. We'll put in an extra show or we'll ignore it, because everyone will be much more interested to hear from you. So, Mark, take it away. What do you want to bring to the show and what should we talk about?
Well, I was going to give you guys a wee update on what devices that I was rocking. Now, I think the last time when I was on, I had the S25 Ultra. And obviously, as you guys know, the camera is a big thing for me there. So that's why I've been using, the Galaxies for years. But anyway, after Joe, and I'm blaming this one on you, Joe, your review of the Honor Magic 8 Pro, I decided to give that a go, and all I'll say is, Joe, you were absolutely right about this phone. It has been fantastic, and after a few months, I can say I'm still really, really impressed across the board. Build quality, excellent performance, excellent. Obviously, you guys will be aware that it's rocking the Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5. Which is non-stop. I don't think I've seen one blip on it at all. And again, that 6,270 milliamp hour silicon carbon battery has been absolutely excellent, even though it is smaller than the 7,000 one you can get in some of the other variants. Camera, overall, that has been absolutely fantastic. And in a minute I'll just touch on some pros and cons the camera, but it's been really, really good, and I've had it in loads of different environments, which I'll run over in a minute. But it's been absolutely, absolutely fantastic, and what a good shout, Joe, definitely.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, because you put a review out and say it's one of the best flagships for 2026. That's a big statement, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of this device. The only reason my SIM isn't in it more often is the fact that it doesn't fold. Otherwise, it'd be in there all the time, because I love it.
The Magic 8 Pro we talked about before, because they've reduced the size slightly, haven't they, Joe?
Which
is actually quite pleasing in the hand and better than the Magic 7 Pro. Not a lot, but that little bit just makes a bit of a difference, doesn't it? I'd be interested to know if they've done the same as I found with your V5 and with the, funnily enough, not with my 400 Pro, but with the Magic 8 Lite. They've taken away the always-on display, and even when the always-on display is supposed to work, it invariably I'd look across the room to it and it was off, and they just don't do it very well. I think we'll come to some of the reasons why that might be as we go forward. And the other thing is all the Apple copying crap, you know, it just so annoys me. So again, I'll be keen to hear from you, Mark, as to how you feel about that, and whether it's spoiling your experience. I've leaked from the 400 Pro being my phone of the year last year to being really of little interest to me now because of those, that feature really. I'm just a bit disappointed with Honor, on quite a few levels, having been enthusiastic to begin with.
Yeah, I must say, Ted, I'm a bit disappointed with your experience with the V5 because I never experienced it coming off, but then I don't check the always on display to the degree that you do. But it is disappointing because, yeah, you expect it to be a proper always on display for a flagship device like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Now, obviously, I can say for the Magic 8 Pro, you know, and it's a flagship as well. And I know you know anyway, has got no problem with the always on display. It's spot on. One thing I would maybe say is it would be good to have some options, you know, how maybe make that a bit duller now for at night time if it's in your room, because I was using it as a clock and I did that with the Samsungs and that as well, but it's just, I find it's just that bit too bright, you know, at times. So that would be one of my gripes if anything, but otherwise,
is there nothing in the settings to tone it down?
No, I've been in a few times, and that's how I was waiting for the latest patch, to see if anything had changed there, because I'd seen in the forums, you know, a few people saying it would be good to have some options there on how to turn it down, because it's perfect. I mean, it does what an always on display always does, but it's just that bit too bright for a dark room, right. You know, and I know that in some of the other phones that I've used over the years, you know, you've been able to, you know, crank that down a wee bit at night, you know, it just makes it a wee bit more tolerable, and certainly good if you're using it as a clock like I do at night.
Sure. Okay.
Is that turning it on its side?
Listen, Joe, and that's a good point. I should call that out. That's a workaround. You can do that. If you turn it on its side, it's got that app. Can't remember the name of it right now, but it's got an app that kicks in, and it will display any clock choosing of your choice. And there actually is a clock there that is actually duller than the default always on display, so that could be a workaround definitely for it. And it's very, very Apple-esque, isn't it, Joe? You know, it's just a direct copy of it, really.
In actual fact, I don't mind the good things that are being nicked from Apple. You know, that's fine, because that sideways clock thing is really good. I was watching Joe Flossy last night reviewing or opening, unboxing and first impressions of the Razer Fold, and I was surprised because he found the same thing in that. If you put it into tent mode, you can get the exact same thing, and I've tried that. I've tried to find that on the Signature, and that is not working. So that's a Motorola folding thing, and obviously everyone's jumping on the bandwagon with that.
Yeah, it makes sense though. It's a good feature.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
So what I've done, guys, then, so I've called out a couple of pros and cons just on the phone, starting with pros and the positives. You know, like I said a minute ago, the camera system, it's a great all-round shooter, you know, and I know people say that all the time, but what I mean with that is it's one of those, you know, if there's trust in it, I've got trust that no matter, you know, kind of the shot that I take, that I, you know, it's not going to be an important shot. You know, someone's birthday blown out a cake, you know, and I take a couple of shots and they're all blurry. You know, it's really, I find it really reliable. You know, there's a couple of occasions, you know, what I will say in an indoor shot where it's it's churned out a blurry photo. But what I will say, and in my use case, it's always because usually I've got kids, you know, they're moving about, they don't know, they just don't stay still. And then sometimes we've been doing some pet shots as well, you know, and the cat doesn't understand to stay still, you know, that sort of thing. So that's kind of my use case. But like I said, 9.9 times out of 10, it's a solid performer, and it's really great having that, you know. And as you heard me saying before, when I was on before, just about the Samsungs, there was just a degree of there wasn't a lot of trust there sometimes with the Samsungs, because there was a lot of bloody effects. Certainly the last time when I was on, when you know, Steve was on the show as well, Ted, and we were talking about it, and it's definitely, you know, you couldn't rely on that as much. But this camera, definitely it's way up there. Outdoor shots wise, always impressive, you know, and that's across three lenses that it's got on it. It's got that 50 megapixel main sensor, and then the 200 megapixel periscope telephoto lens, and then the ultra wide lens, and that's a 50 megapixel lens on that as well. But it's good, I would say, across the board on all three of them. And you know, it doesn't matter the scenario outdoor, I haven't seen any bloody effects or anything that, you know, I would say is a negative. It's pretty much always positive, so I couldn't even find a problem. I was having a quick look through earlier to see if I could you know, pick some issues out.
3x7x optical zoom with a 1/1.4-inch sensor, f2 2.6 on 200 megapixels. So I guess it should be good. I think you mentioned that before, yeah. Joe, didn't you?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Even in low light, it's pretty decent. Mm. It has SEPA 5.5 stabilization rating as well, which is really great.
Yeah, that's like a rating from a camera, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joe, yeah. Yeah, So what I'm saying is basically outdoor-wise, you get no problems at all there from any of the lenses that you use. You're guaranteed a good shot. Jumping into build, again, I would actually, I mean, I've looked over this thing, you know, it's in a case, but what I'd say is definitely 100%, it feels really, really premium to me. I know it's a wee bit different from some of the other flagships out there, because it's got that reinforced plastic back, you know, that I think it's a fibre reinforced plastic back, you know, but it seems mint to me, you know. And I would definitely, I mean, I would have no, you know, issues getting any other phone with that on the back as well. The way I see it is it just makes it that bit more durable, and it certainly doesn't look like plastic. It's really, really good.
I like the rounded corners, Mark. My 400 Pro has got those rounded corners, but the trend seems to be going towards making them kind of squarer, whereas Honor, yeah, with the 600 and 600 Pro as well, they've made them kind of more rounded. So again, the handling for that is pretty good. The only thing that I don't like is the great big lump of the camera circle on the back.
Yeah. It's worth it though for what it does, but I get that definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I actually don't mind it now, because obviously, you know, I really like the Pixel phones, and I think, you know, obviously that visor became a feature, you know, and I don't mind it. Looking at this, you know, on the Honor. But yeah, I definitely don't. One thing, just when you're talking about the curves and that, you know, there's one thing that it's got that I maybe don't like as much, and that's that curved glass. Joe, I don't know what you thought of that, but I've just, in my mind, now, there's been no problem with it, because it's in a case anyway, right? And it's nice. It's nice and smooth on your thumbs, and you're swiping back and forward over it, and that's fine. But I don't know, there's just something in my head that says at one point I'm going to damage this because it's protruding, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, I hear that. There's pros and cons, isn't there? Because it's fantastic for gestures. Mm-hmm. And like you say, when it is in a case, it's hardly noticeable that there's a curve there. But yeah, there is that little fear, isn't there? And it's difficult to get a screen protector for it as well.
Yeah, it's great that they actually put a factory installed screen protector on it. I mean, I thought that was a great, and I thought I was thinking, you know, great, after 2 months, this is probably going to end up looking terrible, but it's still looking spot on. I can't see any marks in it, no bubbles or anything. In fact, it's really hard to see the edges on it, you know, so...
Yeah, they are good. Ted's not a fan of the factory ones, though.
No, I'm not a fan of anything that gets between my finger and the glass. I always take them off if I possibly can. I don't like them, and it's just a thing of mine. But I do like the edges of the screen on my 400 Pro. So I think it's one of the best things about it. Yeah, okay. The case that comes with it was actually supplied with a case, the 400 Pro, and it seems to work really well with it. The only edge that's exposed is the bottom one, really, in terms of risk of damage. But the bottom one being exposed is so good for gestures, like Joe said. It's just the handling on the 400 Pro is really nice, and I wouldn't want to lose that curved screen now. And Motorola are doing this as well now. You know, they're into this kind of curve thing, quad curving, and I think it's really classy. And because I'm not bothered about a case, I suppose I don't really care about it. I reap the benefits.
That's a good point, Dick, because the signature has got it perfect, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very subtle at the edges, isn't it?
Okay.
So moving on then, continuing the trend of the positives, it's got 3D face unlock. And Joe, I know you mentioned this, but I mean, for me, actually, I thought I'm fine with the fingerprint reader. Not that bothered about it, but you know what? See, having it back, I never knew how much I'd missed it. I really, really like it, and I like the fact that you've got the option, you know, of using the fingerprint or the face unlock anytime, and it works perfectly.
So does that work with banking like an iPhone does?
Yeah, it does, Ted, and that's great as well.
Right. Even in the dark.
Yeah. Even in the dark, because obviously, what is it, Joe, projecting those like photons, and you know, you've got all of that, and you know, just the same way as the you know, the Apple do it, you know, and like things like the, you know, Kinect, you know, the Xbox, remember the Xbox Kinect, and that's where it was first started seeing that appearing.
It doesn't depend on the bank. It's to do with the phone's hardware, not the bank. Kind of,
as far as I know,
baking it into their code.
No, because I think I mean, I could be wrong here, but didn't Google do a change to make it, you know, as long as it passed the security, and you know that you could use anything on device, and you didn't have to.
Okay.
I think that was the case. But what I would say here is, I've got a few banks, and one of them, and I call it the bank that time forgot, basically Nationwide, you know, and they work. It works totally fine with them, you know, which is good, you know. And if it works with them, then it will definitely work with anybody. Right. But it's been really, really good, and like I said, you know, a pleasant surprise having it back. And I'm actually thinking now, I really hope they don't take this away, you know, and actually more manufacturers jump in the bandwagon here, you know, and give us the option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, because I'd be devastated, and I agree. I don't know why others aren't doing this. It's good that you've got best of both worlds, though. You've got got the fingerprint scanner if you want, but yeah, the face is half the time it's already unlocked.
Presumably, it's because it costs more to put the hardware in. I guess there's a reason, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. But how much does it cost? I don't know.
No.
I remember in the... I don't think it's that much. And I remember in the early days, and you know how, like, obviously Apple, they just decided they were doing it, and they did it across the board, and that was that. But I think the mistake made by Google at the time was when they implemented it, they didn't make it mandatory. You know, so you only had the Nexus line. Was it one of the Nexuses was the first one with it, wasn't it?
The Pixel 4.
Was it the Pixel 4?
The Project Soli.
Yeah, the Pixel 4 had the LiDAR solar thingy, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right, I can't remember the first one, but they didn't make it mandatory, and I think I think it was a mistake across the board. You know, it should have been the way it is the now, because it looks as if it's baked in now, and as long as it's been certified, you know, as obviously, you know, banking grade or whatever way you want, whatever the certification's called, you know, then you've got the choice of using it. So, but right now, as I can say, it works flawlessly for everything.
The thing about the additional cost might be the similar to the Qi charging thing, whereas we know how cheaply you can buy a third-party Qi charging coil, and yet manufacturers of phones seem to be using that as a flagship buying thing for people. They're leaving it off purposely so that they only put it on the higher-end models. So you've got to buy it when actually it's what, $1, $2 probably to put it in. So maybe the 3D face unlock thingy is the same. They're making it a real premium feature.
I guess the other thing is that it does take up a bit more screen real estate, doesn't it? You have a pill drop in there instead of a little pole punch. So maybe that puts some people off, at least in their minds, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. And, you know, and if that is a consideration, if people do, you know, do you remember the Pixel one, and they had a bucket? I think, was it Steve that was calling it a bucket, or was it yourself, Ted? But, you know, it's not as bad as that. It is only, like Joe says, a little pill. I don't mind it at all, and I certainly would not want to lose the functionality of 3D face unlock.
I'm with you now. I remember the bucket.
Do you remember?
The bucket was the early iPhones that had that huge cutout, wasn't it?
Well, I think the iPhone started, and then I think Google copied it, but they instead of they went one up on Apple, and their cutout was basically like a bucket.
Even better.
And one of you guys was calling it a bucket, but it's certainly nowhere near a bucket. It's just a small pill. Actually, I would say it's even better than the iPhone. To be honest, it looks even smaller, I think, at some points, you know, so it's totally fine. But anyway, great to have it back. I really did miss it, as it turns out, and I didn't know I was going to miss it. Continuing on the positives then, the battery, as you heard me doing in that brief summary at the beginning, again, you know, that 6,270 milliamp hour silicon carbon battery, brilliant, and it's a real welcome addition to see some extra battery life getting thrown in there. You know, and I think it's that sort of thing really shows like Samsung and Apple up here, you know, the fact you know, that these Chinese brands are really going at it, you know, with the silicon carbon batteries, you know, and pushing the envelope there, because you definitely need it. And plus, it's brilliant to have that, you know, the dreaded battery fear totally removed from the day. What I did as well, guys, is just to give you an idea about that battery, you know, is I kind of pulled together a kind of day in the life usage, you know. So a few weeks back, we did an early morning photo shoot in Glasgow on the bikes. So basically, it was up at 4:30 in the morning. I posted a couple of pictures on the PSC photos. Basically, one of a street, and it's like there's like no cars. It's in the dark, and so that was like 5 in the morning or something. But anyway, it was up at 4:30, and then into Glasgow for 5 for sunrise. Turned out that we missed the sun because there was loads of clouds everywhere, so that was scuppered. But anyway, we took loads of pictures all the way through the day. We were running some Google Maps on it as well, and that was on and off for a few hours. Uploaded loads of pics to WhatsApp, took some calls, but basically really hammered it. I mean, it was out constantly. Loads and loads of pictures we took. Headed home about 5, still had over 60% left in the tank, and then sat about for a while, edited some of those pictures as well, and went to bed about 11. And I'm not joking, guys, it was just dropping below 50%.
Cool.
That's how good it is.
Mm-hmm. That's really good, isn't it? You can't argue with that kind of performance. And there's got to come a time when Samsung and co. get with the program and start doing this. Otherwise, they're just going to be lagging behind, aren't they? I don't know how long they can just drag their heels on it and still, you know, not have people complaining about the fact that their friend's phone works much better and longer and blah, blah, blah. We are up against the European legislation, though, about battery sizes, like you said earlier, aren't we?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is really annoying, particularly as we're not in Europe.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself, and that's why we've got that. We don't have the 7,000 milliamp hour one,
yeah.
Which I know I'm scratching my head about that one. You know, obviously they've just released that European variant, and that's us stuck with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we could have. You could just order any variant you want, can't you? We're quite lucky here. We can get anything in the UK, really. You know, if we wanted it,
but import it. You got downsides doing that as well. I like these big batteries, and I think that's a great thing. I'm just a bit disappointed that the signature's not up there with them. I think, Joe, you concluded that was because it was so thin, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I would have taken it a bit thicker for a bigger battery.
Yeah.
Would have happily done it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone's chucked a picture in here. What's that?
I think that's the Glasgow picture you're talking about, Mark. Is it?
That's it, Joe. And that picture is a picture I posted of the West End in Glasgow. And for anyone who knows the West End in Glasgow, it's always really, really busy. And that street is always...
But not at 5 a.m.
No, not at 5 a.m. In fact, we've still seen some people coming back from, like, you know, parties and stuff like that, you know. But anyway, you know, no, it was through the
walk of shame.
Yeah, there was only a few people we've seen that looked as if they'd just come back from something. But anyway, it was. I mean, basically, the reason why we do these early morning shots, and most people know this, but the environment is a completely different space at that time in the morning. There's no people about, there's very little cars, but the lights and stuff like that, just the way you can capture things is just completely different. So that's why we make the effort to do these really early shots. But it's really interesting standing in that road, which is normally, like I said, really, really busy, and there's a car in sight. Yeah, but anyway, so that's just to give you a kind of overview, you know, how of like a day in the life with the battery, because it's very easy, isn't it, just going and say, no, the battery's fantastic and blah blah blah, but you know, but that, I think that does show its strengths. You know, hours are maps, hours are taking pictures, and you know, taking pictures is really, can be quite intense on the battery, certainly when you keep going at it for hours like we did, you know. So I was really, really impressed. And it, for me, I think with any phone, I'm one of these people, see if I'm going to like a wedding or something like that, I'm not one of these people who would want to take a charger or anything like that. You know, I want to make sure that whatever device I've got in my pocket, it could definitely last the day, you know, and into the night, and I've got no battery fear, and this ticked that box twice for me.
Cool.
So really, really good.
It's important. It's really important, isn't it, for you, for especially events like that, you want it to last. Just quickly, with regards to the odd blurry image, because I've experienced this with all phones, including this one, with moving subjects. Do you ever stick on the motion sensor capture thing on? I always forget myself.
Joe, I forget as well. But then there has been times where I've went, oh, and I've put it on, and then I've taken a picture and it's been totally fine. And I'm saying to myself, Is that better because I've switched that on, or is it better now because I'm making sure that I'm not shaking about and I'm standing still and you know that sort of thing, you know, and then I forget again, you know. So yeah, maybe as well, maybe I should really just stick that on and tell it in the settings to remember that forever, and see if that helps, because actually that's a good shout, actually, to go back over that and see if I notice anything.
Remind us what that does, Joe.
So it notices when there's motion in the image. I'm guessing it takes extra shots, or I'm not sure. But it's meant to stop the blurriness, basically. Because it can capture shots. You can even make it capture shots automatically as well, so it take more than one shot.
So, I think, it's one of the, maybe it's stacking them, is it?
Yeah, because I think, who was it? Tom the Tech chap. It was on the, actually the 7 Pro, maybe even the 6 Pro. But he was showing himself jumping in the air. And it was taking shots of him jumping in the air.
Right.
It realised there was motion and started taking shots.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't used it much. I just always forget it's there. And actually, the camera UI has changed recently because it used to be pop up on the screen in the bottom left-hand corner, whereas now I find it's in the settings. So that's another reason why I forget.
Okay. Right. So on to the cons, Mark.
Yeah, so the coins, there's not many, but obviously we need to call some of these things out to give us some balance as well. So the first thing that I noticed, and this that happened in the first week, once I'd set up Google Pay on it, and I went to pay, and that was fine, and then went to pay for something else, and it was like nothing. The terminal wasn't detecting anything. So I'm like, right, what's going on here then? So anyway, the usual stuff, back. Quick look on the forums, and sure enough, it was all over the forums. Basically, you know, that NFC wasn't working right, you know, and people saying all these different things and explanations and all the rest of it. You know, as it turned out, the solution was basically to switch off NFC and then turn it back on again. The usual IT stuff, isn't it? On and off. But it totally worked. It totally worked. But the only thing is, it would only work for the next transaction. And then, so see if you went to pay for something, you know how you're out, we're out for lunch or whatever it was, you know, and we got buy drinks and, you know, pay. Then when I went to pay again, I would need to switch off NFC and on and off again. So what I did is I just put NFC in the drop down tab.
Yeah.
So it was handy and I could do it quickly.
Or just leave it off permanently and then just turn it on when you want to use
turn
it.
Turn it on before. Yeah, that would be another one. I know.
But it defeats the object, doesn't it, of having the convenience of NFC payment, though. That is frustrating, that. I thankfully haven't experienced that, but evidently, if there's people on forums, other people have. So that's not good.
Yeah, there was a lot of people going on about it. And like I said, it didn't take long, I mean, for me to work out that definitely if I could switch it on and off. And then I realised, because a lot of people were saying, you know, like, this is, you know, basically aggressive task killing by Honor, you know, and that is what was going on. But obviously I'm like thinking to myself, well, this is a bit of a pain, you know, I'm going to need to work out a solution for this. But so I contacted Honor because I'm thinking, well, do I need to be sending this back? Because obviously I can't have a phone where I'm switching NFC on and up, but obviously in the back of my mind I'm thinking, come on, this is an easy fix, surely somebody must be on this. But anyway, so I contacted Honor, you know, and basically to see if there was something in the pipeline that they could tell me, and everything was fine and I could relax about it and just limp by with it now and then deal with it later. I don't know, Joe, have you ever contacted the Honor support? I mean, they were perfectly fine and they were really responsive, but they started saying stuff like, right, send us the event logs and all that, which is totally fine. I totally get that. And I'm like, great. Pinged all that over. Some other stuff that they asked for, pinged all that over. And then, Joe, they started asking me, hey, can you film yourself using the phone and going to pay for something? I'm like, right, hold on a second. You want someone to film me going to pay for something, you know, and then what you do is send us the event logs. That's what they were saying to me. And I'm like, well, I don't need to get somebody to film me to do that. I can just tell you when I went to pay for something, the time, and then you can look in the event log at that time, and then you'll see, you know. Anyway, but they kept getting on about this filming and stuff. And in the end, I just decided, I was like, look, I went back and I was quite abrupt with them. You know, I said, guys, I'm sorry, but this is a known issue by Honor. Yous know about it. I'm only asking when this is going to be, the fix is going to be in the pipeline. And honestly, they come back in 20 minutes and they goes, yeah, you're absolutely right. And the fix will be issued at the end of the month.
So what was all that run around about filming?
I don't know. I've got no idea.
It seems to be a thing at the moment. I remember when I was contacting Anchor support to get a replacement powerhouse house battery. And they made me do the same thing. They made me take a video of it doing what it was doing wrong. And they would not proceed. I mean, they were really, really good, like, a bit like Honor, but they insisted on having a video. It just seems to be the video age we live in, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe proof of you're not using it wrong.
Yeah, that could be a thing, you know, and maybe these guys are dealing with a high vote, but I mean, come on, I think by this point, and it's not as if NFC payments just dropped, you know, last year or something, you know, we've had a long time with this, and it was really frustrating, but like I said, I was more firm with them when I went back, and they just backed
out.
So, end
of the month, is that end of May?
Yeah, no, this was a couple of months ago.
Oh, right.
Ted. So yeah, sure enough, to their word, the next patch came out and it was fixed.
Ah,
it was fixed, innit?
Right.
Yep. So totally fixed.
Good.
No problem at all. I mean, it's not the end of the world, right? But you know, you don't want to keep having to do that, you know, to just do a simple thing like paying. It's a bit annoying. And I knew, like I said, I knew the last thing I wanted to do was send this thing back, because I was really impressed right from the get go. I thought, I really want to keep this, but that is really annoying. So I need to know from them that they're on it, you know, and they're on a fix for it. So anyway,
as much as I'm an Honor fan, I think a phone shouldn't launch with that type of issue. That's something that should have been ironed out long before launch. So that's really, really disappointing.
It's a bit of a blinder, and it's one of the key features of any of the smartphones these days, isn't it? You know,
yeah, so. Definitely.
Go on, Joe.
Now, I was just saying, we were talking on PSE about some people don't even bring wallets anymore, do they? So they rely on their payments on their phones.
Having said that, you could argue that from Honor's point of view, or any OEM, if they're trying to streamline their software, you don't actually need NFC to be on all the time, because the times you use it are few and far between. So if they can save some battery by doing that, not that they need to with a battery like that, but you can see why they might want to be trying to do that, to say to people, well, turn it on when you want to use it, you know. But the same is true of Bluetooth as well, isn't it? You know, I guess we use Bluetooth much more frequently than we do NFC, but even so, don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, see, for someone like me, I think that would probably work, Ted, because, you know, I pretty much just use it to pay for things, you know, and the way I like to do it is I'll always, you know, do the double tap and launch Google Pay. But however, like, see, like, a lot of folk, like, certainly, like, you know, like, let's use London as an example. A lot of people who have got their tube tickets and all that on it, they don't do anything like that. I've noticed some people just do the tap, don't they?
Right.
You know, they just go up and tap their phone. So that wouldn't work for them, because obviously then NFC would be switched off. So it's a good idea, but I think there is maybe a small use case there for maybe 25%.
How about NFC turns on when you open wallet?
Yeah, so that would be fine for me.
Automatic.
You know, for the people who just go up and tap their phones and they've got their default stuff for that, then it might not work for that.
No.
But anyway, it was a small thing, but an annoying thing, you know, and I'm thinking, well, but anyway, all fixed, all resolved, as they said.
It'll be really interesting to find out from some knowledgeable person how much battery having NFC turned on all the time actually uses. We did actually look into that some time ago with Bluetooth, and it turns out that Bluetooth is very negligible, particularly with the LE Bluetooth that came in, which is exactly what it was for. But I don't think we've ever considered NFC.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be, I mean, I'm pretty sure from back in the day, it's supposed to be a low juice sort of thing, you know. It doesn't use a lot, I mean, from memory, but I mean, yeah, I need to look into it in more detail. But I think across the board, what I was going to say was, across the board, we Honor, you know, they do have some aggressive task killing set up in there. That's just how they do it. And you know what, but for 95% of the time, I totally agree with what they're doing, you know, like locking down. So, and you've got the other option as well. You know, you can go into the app and tell it to manage it yourself. Now, how to manage the power consumption, mm-hmm. Pretty sure they put that in there as well. So you can do that as well. That's another way to say, right, just leave this app alone. And something that I noticed just recently, and this is, and I'll come on to it later on, I got the Huawei G6 Pro watch, you know, and It's been constantly jumping up and saying, hey, this app's using a lot of your power. Do you want us to turn it off? You know, obviously I don't want them to turn it off because I need to get alerts if there's any health alerts or whatever. But as an example, Honor being really, really on that power consumption. And of course, that's important to a lot of people. But obviously, if they cross the line and make it unusable, then that is going to seriously over time wind a lot of people up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Moving down my coins list, and like I said, this list is not a serious list by any means. Of the phone overall is fantastic, but the other wee one that was annoying me, and you might laugh at this one, was the screen size. And now I know it's already got a big screen, but you know, it just, what is it, 6.71 or something, you know, but it's just enough that it's kind of annoying me a little bit, coming from, you know, like an S25 Ultra, just with those sharper corners and stuff. Like, I feel like I've lost some real estate there. But again, I think it's just me probably being a bit pernickety there, to be honest.
It's what you get used to, isn't it? I don't particularly go for big phones. And so when I use a S20 whatever Ultra of Samsung, I think it's too big. I think that the Motorola Signature's too big for me. I'd much rather have a smaller phone. But leaping about from one to the other, and given that the Magic 7 Pro was a bit bigger as well, doesn't probably help your quest.
Yeah, I know. And I remember Joe saying that as well, you know, about the Magic 7 having a bigger size screen. But to be honest, this one is just, like I said, it's just a minor gripe. And, you know, and just now and again when I glance at it, I'm like, that is definitely, you know, I'm noticing it, you know. But anyway, like I said, I think I'm just being pernickety. And when I was halfway through saying that, Ted, I knew you were going to jump in and moan about that, but the size of the screen, it is a big screen, and it's a good screen, you know, so yeah. nothing really to be going on about there.
It's a funny one for me, because it's a pro for me. I think it's the perfect size, but I also do get where you're coming from, because getting used to using bigger screens like you have, I do find the odd time you are finding wanting, and I guess that's why I like the folds, because bam, you open it up and you've got an even bigger screen. So I think that's where the folds are for me are perfect. I need like an 8 Pro that folds. I guess that's what the V6 is.
and Joe, I am ready. I am so getting ready for a foldable myself, I have to say. I'm really talking myself into it, and I think it's just, you know, and it could end up being a V6 or something, you know, maybe. I'm definitely going that way as well. And one of the things that I should say there just about that screen size is, obviously I struggle a wee bit to see things kind of close up, so I've been putting the text size up a bit, and I notice now and again, you know, how the UI looks a bit funny, you know, how things are like cut off and on to the next line and stuff, you know, so maybe it's just that as well, that's kind of adding to it.
You've mentioned that as well before, Ted, haven't you, where things are placed in strange places, and like the thing on the always on display, is it always on display, or the lock screen, it's to one side, isn't it?
Where you put your signature, not your signature, your message on the lock screen, go, and the always on display screen, unless you measure spaces before you want to put your stuff there, it left aligns it instead of putting it in the middle. It's just nonsense. Now, to be fair, I haven't checked that for a while with various updates that have come through. Maybe they've fixed that, but it'd be worth trying that, both of you. Now that you've got these flagships, but I always put my email address down the bottom there. So maybe you should emulate that and see if it goes in the middle yet.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I've got the 8 Pro here, so yeah, I'll check that out. That's my homework.
But there's also, I think you're right, Mark, there's also on various phones, the whole zoom and font size and the screen size and the number of icons across by, you know, the grid size, all of those things have an impact. And I'm constantly playing with that too, because I get, the same as you get wrapping of text, stupidly one character on the next line down. and you think, this is just rubbish. The Sony Xperia 21.9 screen is particularly bad for this, because it's narrower and taller. I'm forever tinkering with that to try and make it look good. So perhaps you're right about the screen size, having reduced it down like they have. That's one of the payoffs.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe the curve as well on the screen, potentially at the edges.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it could just be me. And I think it might be, you know, like I said, I'm just so used to, I think, just that extra bit of screen real estate that it's maybe winding me up a wee bit. But it really is. It's a minor concern, to be honest. The last thing in the cons list, and this is one that has been around for a long time, and this is not just with Chinese phones as well, but the updates as well. Now, everything's been fine now. The monthly updates have been churning out totally fine. However, when I've been on some of the forums and that, you know, I've noticed just the odd comment here and there, you know, people saying, you know, yeah, honor. after you're not getting the current model, you know, then they start dropping the update schedule into every 2 months, 3 months, and then into every quarter and stuff like that as well. So that's maybe going to be a wee bit concerning for me down the line. But right now, the updates are coming in monthly, as you would expect, as well. So
yeah. Don't be concerned. You would have moved it on by then.
Well, there is that. I know. Maybe that would affect a normal person. It's not like buying and selling all the time. I know. That's probably more
interesting. The cut-off point there is if they start doing what Motorola do, or have done in the past, which is testing by usage on their servers how many people are still using their phones. So whatever promise they've made of updates, they just, you know, the current issue I've got is with the Think phone, the original Think phone, which they said would get up to Android 16. It's still on 15. It's still getting monthly updates as per the deal with Microsoft. But 16, it's not arriving, and that's really unusual for the device. And I think it goes back to what Motorola had said in the past, which is that we know how many people are using what phones, and so we'll update the ones that are being used the most. And that's a really crap attitude, I think. So hopefully Honor are not going to be doing that.
Let's hope not, because that is a crap attitude, like you say. It's a finger up to all them people that are using it. So they're basically saying, we know not many people are using it, but some people are, but we don't care about them.
No, absolutely. that seems to be the, from what I discovered about Motorola. However, to be fair, you know, Motorola are changing, have changed, and perhaps they will not apply. It will be really interesting to see in 6 years' time with the Motorola signature what actually is going on with it and whether it's anywhere near up to date.
Yeah, it would be interesting indeed.
but that is terrible. But I mean, you know, if they're looking on the servers and saying, all right, okay, that's us, we're down to we're last 20,000 using that phone, so let's just not bother doing anything with it, even though we've promised, you know, that we're going to give you we're going to give you the latest versions of Android for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. We'll just bin it at year two. I mean, that's rubbish. They make a commitment and they should stick to it, and I think that just, it brings the brand down, doesn't it? You know, and Motorola's, that's a Chinese company on that now, isn't it? Lenovo, and you know, I like Lenovo stuff as well, but again, that sort of user commitment is that's definitely not right.
Well, let's hope they've changed.
Yeah, and it hurts. I think it just really hurts the brand. You know, you know, how can you have you lose your customer loyalty there, don't you? Yeah. And you treat them like that, you know.
Thing is, though, what's strange is people don't seem to care as much as we do, us tech guys, and I think that's why they get away with it, because other people, your usual regular person, I mean, they don't even always look to do their updates. It's normally us tech guys that help them out and tell them to do it.
That's quite true.
you're totally right, Joe. And I just look at even people like my wife. You know, she just ignores the updates, ignores them until it's like on a final warning. You know, like you need to update. You've not touched it, you know, for over a year. You know, she just cancels everything.
She's like, my banking app's not working. Why?
Yeah, that has absolutely happened. You know, mm-hmm. She's been on that version with a major security flaw, and she just ignored it. You know, so. It's a big thing, but anyway, that's the end of my kind of update on our Magic April.
It sounds like a really nice phone. I'm very impressed with it, and I would like to have hands on with one. But I seem to be, like I said earlier, I just seem to be put off of the whole Honor thing at the moment. I need to get an Honor phone that ticks all the boxes again to get my confidence back.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say, Ted, is you could maybe, I mean, you could pick one of these up for cheap, you know, at some point, because the depreciation value is quite high, yeah. Again, you know, so, you know, you could, you know, another month or something, you probably get one of these for about 500 quid or something,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, so it does open doors, you know, for you down the line if you want to give it a go, but, you know, like I said, sure. It's a great all-rounder, and that fantastic camera and battery life are really standout things for me. Mm-hmm. So,
you like the speakers, Ted, I reckon.
Yeah,
I reckon you would.
I didn't think the speakers on your V5 were that impressive. They were good, but they were not as good as I had.
No, the V5's not as good,
right,
as the 8 Pro.
Right. Okay. Well, that's something else I can look forward to then. I'll keep an eye on our lovely classifieds.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think we're all thinking, well, I'm certainly thinking foldables now. My head's on them, but I just don't want to pay the money. You know, but again, maybe the V6 have changed my mind. I'm still in the, you know, whenever I look at a foldable and they're like, yeah, it's going to be 1600 or something, you're like, yeah, but the battery's still like 5,000 milliamp hours. And the camera, by the way, we're only giving you two of the lenses and it's not as good. And, you know, you're like, well, how can you sell that for that amount of money and have so many drawbacks? You know, I'm still scratching my head at that, but maybe we're just about to turn the corner there, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Samsung give us, but everyone else who does foldables, including Moto, are giving us decent camera systems, decent battery life. So
yeah,
let's see. Samsung are actually starting to lose some market, I think, because their lack of updates on hardware.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm struggling that, and I was. That, you know, kind of alluding to it earlier, but you know, it's getting really difficult for them to keep bringing out phones and calling it an ultra, you know, and then, you know, you're still sitting with a 5,000 milliamp hour battery, and you're still sitting with the same rough cameras, but you know, yeah, they've improved, you know, but you're still sitting with the same design, you know, and just things like that, and then you know, the high price, and you're thinking, well, where if it's going to be an ultra phone, then really you should be really starting to crank it up. And I can't remember who was talking about this, but I'm sure I heard it in one of the shows. I can't remember, it might have been Kev or something, Richard and Kev or you guys, but I'd heard someone saying, you know, someone asked Samsung about the, you know, the silicon carbon batteries, for example, and the guy kind of poo-pooed it, you know, like, oh no, they're not reliable or something, he said, some Samsung guy. I can't remember who that was, but you know, and I'm thinking, I hope that's not true. I'm sure I've heard some rumors already that they are doing silicon carbon, but it's a wee bit down the line, you know, maybe in the next generation, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my point is, if you're paying 1,400 quid for an ultra phone, it should have an amazing battery in it with a high capacity, you know. Definitely.
Get a second hand.
And bleeding edge hardware for cameras, I think.
Yeah, just go at it, you know. Just go at it. And that's the feeling I always get when I'm using this, you know, the Magic 8 Pro. I think Honor's just throwing everything at it, you know, and they're like, right, okay, go for it. We're going to get some bits wrong here, but there you go.
How about something like a Pixel 9 Fold second hand? Actually, we don't see many of those on the classifieds, do we? But I think people that have bought them hang on to them. But the battery life on those folds, I've got the original Pixel Fold, as you probably know, and the battery life is staggeringly good, really, really good. The speakers, going back to speakers, Joe, they're really, really good. They're significantly better than your V5s. I've never had a 9-fold, a Pixel 9-fold, or XL Fold or whatever it's called. But it might be worth considering if you want to have a toe in the water and not pay so much.
Yeah, and you guys already know that I like the Pixel phones. The only reason I moved away from them is just those Tensor chips. I was noticing stutters and that, you know, and I'm thinking, God, I just bought this for like, you know, £1,000, and I'm sitting here with a processor that's kind of like from a phone from 3 years ago, you know. And I know that Google does the optimizations and all the rest of it, you know, so that you don't notice that, and the steer is away from you know, the steer's more in the AI and all the Google Smarts and all that, but still, you know, still annoying. You know, that's one of those things. You're like, nah, can't spend £1,000 and get, you know, a processor from 3 years ago. I just can't.
I suppose so. I'm not that demanding, really, in terms of what you're using your phone for. But I suppose you're right. You've got to expect a certain level of. I'm just looking up on Kex, CEX, a Pixel 10 Pro Fold, an A grade, this is 256 gigabytes, 835. So if you found someone that was buying one, you could probably expect that to be more like about £600, I would guess. Particularly if it was a 9 Pro Fold, and maybe B grade, because apparently B grades from CEX are pretty much as good as A anyway. So, you know, you could be doing £500 on something with that, couldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely worth a shout.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, what's next?
The watch. Popped the watch in just to cover that. I won't spend as much time on this one, but so basically I just bought a Huawei GT6 Pro. It's been fantastic. You know, I was coming from a Garmin. I had a Garmin Venue 4. Again, you know, that was good, but really expensive. You know, and when I was looking at it, and I'm like, do I really want to keep this? You know, because I needed a new watch. I knew that, you know, because I had a Samsung Galaxy watch before, but obviously when I moved away from the 25, the S25, then, you know, and I'm sure you guys are aware, but Samsung watches then, they don't, like the AFib detection and all of that stops working, and some of the other things, you need to have a Samsung phone for that. So I'm like, right, okay, so I'm going to need to look at a new smartwatch. But anyway, I was looking at the Venue 4, it looked great, got that. Brilliant, but I paid a lot for it, and then I'm thinking, you know, looking at the features and stuff, I'm like, I don't see this marrying up, you know, with the costs of this. And then a couple other things, see the UI, I find it, and then I know Gavin's into Garmin's in a big way, and he's probably, you know, listening to this and he'll be like, you're not using it right. But I found the UI really, really just, it wasn't intuitive, you know. It's just, there's just things about it, like trying to get maps and stuff around, just click maps on it coming up. It was weird. Anyway, it just slowly kind of grounded me down a wee bit, and I sent it back anyway. So then I was watching, obviously, on YouTube, and you know how the way it is with the YouTubers, they all get something and everything's great. So I had the Huawei Fit Pro 5. And everybody's like, oh, that's fantastic, it's fantastic. And it was really, really good. I got that. But again, the problem with that is it was just too small on my wrist. You know, it looked like a postage stamp. So I had to send that back. Anyway, so I decided on the GT series because I'm looking at it with the size and stuff. And I thought, right, okay, let's go with that. But oof, what a watch. I am so impressed. Battery life. Now, this is an important thing for a watch for me. I'm like, I do not want to be charging the watch every night. That drives me round the bend, you know. But anyway, this thing can go for about 7 to 10 days. We have it on, and I mean everything on. In fact, if you turn off the always-on display, it'll go for 2 weeks. You know, so it's really just really, really great in the battery department. It's got a lot of great tech, all the latest stuff, you know, heart rate stuff, constant 24-hour monitoring, oxygen levels in your blood, important as well, skin temperature, and it's got the ECG, which is important for me, and the AFib detection. And an added bonus, it's got the arterial, you know, stiffness monitoring as well. I don't know if you've noticed that that's coming up a lot in some of the new watches as well. It's so really top-notch sensors, and really, really good quality. So it's been a great all-rounder. I would say it's got a sapphire crystal face, and it's got a titanium case as well, and it actually looks like a watch, which is an added bonus. The app itself, for using it, I think everything's clearly laid out. A few wee minor gripes would be, you know, there's a few wee advertisements that kind of popping up a lot, and they're wanting you to kind of pay for their yearly subscription, which is a bit annoying. And a lot of the faces are behind the paywall, which I know that's the norm for a lot of these things. But however, the way Huawei have done this is they've kind of got that in your face quite a lot, you know.
So is this Wear OS?
No, it's not Wear OS. No. It's no, because Huawei. It can't be because Huawei's banned.
Yeah.
But you know, it's.
How does it talk to other apps, and does it only work with its own app?
It only works with the Huawei app on your phone. But it works with, they've, like, obviously they can't use Google Maps, so they use Petal Maps, which is powered by TomTom. And that's been totally fine, because I thought the maps are going to be important as well. But also what you can do is you can download your, obviously I downloaded the UK map right away onto the phone, so that's there, and it's all built into the phone right away. And like I said, really, really good. I mean, the GPS that it's got, it's what is it they call it? Is it called like Flower or something, GPS? Anyway, it's like the new style where, you know, it can pick up more satellites, just by the way it's designed, you know, so it doesn't matter the position you've got the watch and all that, you know. Its accuracy is really, really enhanced, which has been quite impressive. And I gave it a go, and I was pleasantly surprised. But
So you can't install any apps on it. For example, if you wanted to get your Gmail on it, that's a no go, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
No. But Gmail notifications do pop up, Ted. You know, and they do pop up in the watch right from your phone.
Right.
But you can't install those things on it.
Okay.
I mean, I personally myself, and that's why I was like, right, and I'd looked up that, and I'm like thinking, can I live with that? And I looked at my use case. For me, what's really important is having top-notch ECG and, you know, the heart, the AFib detection and the arterial stuff. I thought that's really, really important, isn't it? You know, to have that. I thought I want that. I'll definitely want good battery life, which is off the chart. It's really, really good. And then I came back to it and I thought, actually, I'm not really that bothered about Wear OS, because I'm not really bothered that much, you know, about downloading loads of apps. I would never put Gmail on a watch or anything like that, because I'm not even sure I could see the words, you know, to even, you know, I mean, you've got to be honest, you know. Yeah. I could maybe see the subject, you know, and that would be it. So all of those things don't matter to me.
No.
What just matters is making sure that it's got really, really good sensors in it, and it definitely has. Huawei have thrown the kitchen sink at it.
Price?
I love Huawei, and I very nearly bought this watch on our MeWe Classified group. One thing, at the time it didn't have contactless payment, but I believe it's been added now via Curve. Have you looked into that?
Yeah, I did look at it, and I seen it was Curve payment as well. And but again, Joe, this was one of the things I wasn't that bothered about. 100%. Now, in the past, when I had the Galaxy watches, the one time in Centre Parts rings a bell, we're all in Centre Parts just in December last year, and you know, and I got stung for the barbell, you know, in the swimming pool, you know, because I was the only one that could pay with my watch. I thought, well, I'm not that bothered about getting that again. No, I'm making a joke there, but obviously it would be good to have, and curb pay as an option. You can set it all up. I did have a quick look at it, and I noticed one of the reviewers saying, oh, you need to make curb pay your default payment app on your phone, which I thought was a bit strange if you're putting it then onto the watch, but I'd need to look that out and check that out. But anyway, I wasn't that bothered about it, but it is an option now with curb pay, so you can put your card on it.
What about the price, Mark?
So the price, so I got it for 280. I think it was 280 on Amazon on deal.
And is that good in terms of? I don't know much about watches. You Joe knows as well. Compared to to buying a Samsung Galaxy, I don't know.
Yes,
yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's essentially is like the Ultra. For Samsung and Apple even,
right?
And they are looking at around the 500 mark, aren't you? Easy,
yeah, easy. And if you compare it to like that Garmin Venu 4, so that was 360 or 70, you know. So and it didn't have any of the arterial stuff, and it was lacking a few other things as well, because they'd obviously try to push you then when you get to that tier for all the super duper functions. They're all in the Fenix 8. But anyway, so I mean, for the money, I think you're saying the same as me, but I thought it was outstanding for the money, and just definitely the quality of those sensors really, really were standout features for me.
Yeah, it's certainly one I've had my eye on. And you know what? It's only because I've come to the conclusion that I'm not that bothered by watches, that I haven't bothered doing it. Like, I don't need much on a watch. Like you say, I don't bother with any apps. I'm not even that bothered about many notifications coming through. I've found that I just use it as a watch. So, yeah, maybe I should just have a normal watch, really.
Yeah, and that's when I was thinking about it. That's what I was like, what would I need the Wear OS stuff for? You know, I mean, really, Google Maps would maybe be the one thing, because I like Google Maps, cause I use it all the time. And in the end, I thought, no, well, actually, I can pay less for this. And plus with the Sapphire Crystal screen and the made out of titanium, the build quality was just top-notch, and that battery is just phenomenal. And the main things for me is definitely the health, you know, merit stuff that it's got, you know, was important. What I basically thought was, if I'm going to have a heart attack or something, you know, it'd be good to maybe get the heads up that something's not been right a couple of days before, you know. You know, with the ECG and that, you know. But obviously I'm being a bit funny there, but it's more, definitely more about just keeping track of, you know, how things are going at the gym and all of that, and your heart rate and all the rest of it. So yeah, it was good. It was good. Definitely a good watch. That's how I called it out. So good. If anybody's thinking about it, I can highly recommend it.
Good. Sounds really nice. But because of the word Huawei, I just wouldn't even consider it. If I was in the market for a watch, I'd be going more mainstream. Well, recently Joe and I have been getting these Moto watches, which are basically dumb watches anyway. But if I was going for a watch, I wouldn't even... I see the word Huawei and I just think, it's going to be Harmony OS and no Google Play services and blah, blah, blah. But maybe you obviously prove that that's not really a barrier, depending on what you want to use it for.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I'm kind of alluding to. You know, it's definitely not a barrier. As long as you're not someone who's saying, you know, oh, I need to be looking at Gmail, or I want to have the full Google suite on this watch, and all of these sort of things, then, you know, if that's not important to you, then this is definitely the watch. And see the OS, that Harmony OS, it's really good, really smooth. The tech in this is fantastic. I mean, I haven't seen one glitch or anything, you know, swiping through this. Everything loads up super quick. You put new faces on it, they're there instantly. Really, really, really good. And if you're just focused on health and your fitness, then this is right up there. Like I said, with the Huawei app, there is that blend. I mean, I think they've got the UI's pretty good, and you get in, you can clearly see things. I preferred it to Garmin, you know, see like the workouts, get in for strength training. I just found it a whole lot easier than Garmin. You clicked it and right away it just seemed to know what you were doing, and you know, and off you went. Even the post workout analysis, where it starts then tracking your heart rate over the next 2 minutes, you know, on your cool down, just was, because again, that's another good performance indicator, know how well you're doing in that at the gym, and that, and all of these three things were just really, really good and really well laid out. Just a shame, but that they've mixed in some of the paywall, you know, in the front and center of the UI, because I think it brings it down a bit.
And they're serving you up adverts.
Yeah, it's their own advert now saying, hey, you know what, do you want, we're giving you 3 months of this, and you know, you're like, well, to be honest, I'm not that bothered about it, and it'd be good if I could just no see that ever again. You know, that would be a good option. Mm. But like I said, it's only one line on the app, so it's not crazy. Mm. It's lovable. It's passable.
Cool. Okay, well, thanks ever so much, Mark, for your rundown there of what you're using. It all sounds really interesting, and I'm sure that our listeners will be interested in what you said, no question at all. A couple of bits of furniture to cover now, one of which is that I opened a Discord account, and, you know, I was getting a bit cold feetish with MeWe, and I thought, what would happen if MeWe went tits up? And unlike Google and other services who give you months and months notice ahead of it, what if it just went away tomorrow? So I went into Discord and I set up a structure just like we've got on MeWe, basically. It's not as good, but the structure is very similar. And so it's there, sitting there. If we ever need it, then I shall link to it from tedsalmon.com, and I'll make that known to everyone. So if suddenly you wake up one day and MeWe's not working, you can go to tedsalmon.com, and then you can get into the Discord server where we can carry on, at least in some form or fashion. So I'll put the links to that in the show notes as we go forward. Okay.
Yep, sounds good to me. I'll join.
Good. I'll talk to you about it offline, Joe. But it's very the structure is very similar. The app wrap is next, and Mark, you brought an app.
I did, and I'll be quick on this one because I'm pretty sure everybody should be aware of this one. It's another kind of TV and movie one, but it's a famous one. It's the IMDb app. Like I said, everybody should be aware of it. So basically, it's short for the Internet Movie Database. And again, it's excellent. See, if you like to go in and, you know, and check out movies and actors and stuff, it's also really handy when you cannot remember someone's name when you're looking at their face on screen, you know, and you're like, right, okay, I'm going to go look up and see who that is. But really, really good app. Got wealth of information on all the TV shows, all the movies, and also good if you're looking for a kind of new show as well. You know, they've got things with the show, you know, the top 10 or the you know, this month's shows and stuff like that as well. So there's loads of good, there's loads of helpful little tips in there if you're into TV and movies.
Excellent.
Like me.
Yeah. I love this app because I always forget, oh, what were they in again? Oh, yeah, and you check and you can see what they was in. Oh, yeah, they was in that film, weren't they? And I always check the ratings. If I go on Netflix, for example, and there's some film that looks like it might tickle my fancy, it's sci-fi or something like that, and I think, well, this might be good. I check the IMDb rating and find it's 6.2, and I think, yeah, I won't spend that time watching that then.
That's a joke. It's vital. Yeah, it's very good for that. And, the older you get as well, Joe, that happens more often with the forgetting the names, you know, like,
yes,
what on earth is she called, you know. Yeah. Anyway.
I totally agree. Right, a couple of bits of news. Qlik Communicator will ship with Android 17 now. It was going to be 16, apparently, and a bigger battery. It was going to be a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, and now they're saying it's going to be 4,450 milliamp hours. So that's good. Anyone that's got a Clicks communicator should be excited about that. I'm not quite sure what the promise is of how many updates that's going to get, but if it starts on one higher than it was going to in the first place, then that can only be good, I guess.
that's a good sorry it's late, isn't it? I'll take that.
yeah, fair enough. And the other bit of news was that Samsung have unveiled yet another patent for a rolling screen, which was discovered as they snuck it through. But this is a slightly different one, where the camera island, which looks very much like the camera island on most Samsung phones, those three vertical lenses on the side, is kind of sliding into the back, into a kind of opening, so that the camera moves with it. It looks an interesting idea. Any thoughts on either of those two news stories, either of you?
I'll let Mark go first. Anything?
yeah, no problem. The communicator, I mean, how much is that thing, by the way, the communicator? Because I don't know. Obviously, with the BlackBerry vibes and stuff like that, I would love for BlackBerry to come back.
It's going to be $499.
Right.
But I think it depends if you can reserve one with a $199 deposit. So, but I think, yeah basically like 450 quid or something probably.
I mean, even getting that 6 months after it's released, just for the fact of having that, would be fantastic. Because over the years, you know, certainly with BlackBerry's, you know, I've went back and, you know, do you remember, like, obviously with the Z series and all that? And I mean, they were excellent. But for some trip down, you know, memory lane, it would be good to maybe give something like that a go. But I'm pretty sure that and I've said this to myself loads of times, I don't think I could even go back to, you know, typing on a keyboard again. I'm just so used to, I know it's like, it's fantasy, but you know that I'm like, oh yeah, it'd be good after a while, I'd get back into it. And I'm sure I've tried it on a few things and I'm like, no, it doesn't work.
I'm with you. I don't buy it.
No, I know. I think we need to let that go, but it's hard because, you know, certainly with the BlackBerry, you know, the good memories of BlackBerry, you know, that was the OG. Mm-hmm. On the Samsung with the fold out display. Now, who else was it was doing that? Remember them? What was that?
Motorola.
LG. LG had one.
And what did you say?
Motorola did. Well? They had the riser, which actually they shouted very loudly about for a good while, but it went away again.
It just disappeared, I know. Yeah. I thought it actually could be a good idea if that's done right, you know, because obviously it minimised the fold and all that as well, wouldn't it?
It's a rollable. It's not a fold. Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sorry, so you'd roll it out and you wouldn't have that crease. So that would take that away. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've seen it at one of those, like, CES or something, I don't know, can't remember, but anyway, at the time I thought that's good and it can be durable enough, you know, to be, you know, sold as a consumer phone, that would be ideal.
The difference with the riser was that it went long ways, whereas this Samsung patent is showing it going sideways. And I think, Joe, you were saying about the LG, that I think the LG went sideways as well, didn't it?
But I'm not sure how I feel about it. Because how many rolls would you get compared to folds for a long life? I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Let's see if it ever actually comes out as a consumer device.
Yeah.
One to watch, isn't it? It's a bit weird how the flash is separated from the camera, you know, when it rolls out.
Very odd.
Yeah. I know. I remember when I was looking at it, and I was thinking that the roller probably would take it. Would probably, you know, disperse the kind of stress point, wouldn't it? You know, of having a foldable, because you know when you've got that foldable, then it's just the middle, you know, the bit that's folding that's obviously under stress all the time, going back and forward. And if you've got the roller, then that's kind of, you know, spread, you know, over the screen more, isn't it? You know, and you're kind of on a bigger roller as well, and maybe over time that could be better. But the issue, I suppose, is the roller, you know, yeah, and rolling that screen back in. And what does that mean when you're rolling something in at the top? You know, when that, obviously then that means how's that working? You know, because the screen, is that going to be exposed a bit, or you know, I don't know.
For me in the UK, and you'll appreciate this in Scotland as well, I need an IP rating on my phone for sure, and I'm not sure they're gonna be able to get that with this. Let's see though.
I don't think it's going to be IP69, this one, is it?
No, definitely not.
Or 68.
If indeed it ever sees the light of day, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Patents come out at a remarkable rate. And we were talking last week about the Microsoft one, Surface one, and, you know, a lot of these just go nowhere, so perhaps we shouldn't spend too much time on it anyway. Joe, well, anything from your... Joe's throws this week?
Not much, just that I finally got my 600 Pro demo unit come through. Ah. And it's disgusting. I need to give it a good wash before I start using it. But yeah, so that I'll start playing with that soon. I might even do a video with like jet washes on it, because they state it's IP68 69K, don't they? So that'd be a good video, wouldn't it? Give it a wash at the same time. Perhaps that will be coming. But yeah, nothing else exciting. I'm still in the Razer Fold and enjoying that. I've still got the Moto Watch, dumb watch, but it's fun. It's nice. Nice stainless steel thingy, wrist, what's it called? Strap. Couldn't remember what it's called. Nice stainless steel strap on it, which is quite smart looking. Like you said about the Huawei one, it looks like a watch, which is quite important to me. I want it to look like a classic watch. But yeah, nothing else exciting happening at my end. I've been quite lazy last 2 days, burning in the sun and drinking beer.
Good for you. Okay, I've got a few things kicking about, including playing with Lineage OS, which I'll come to in another show when we've got more time, putting it on the Sony Xperia 10 Mark 7, or trying to, and the Fairphone 5 more successfully. I've also done a piece on the Moto Pen Ultra, which I've done on my blog, so I'll link to that overview there, as well as my Motorola Signature review again. And also, I've got a rather large Moto Pen Ultra shared Google photo shared album, and I'll link to that as well, because I put loads of screenshots in there, so you can see how the Moto Pen Ultra gets on with the phone and what it can do and what it can't do. So if you're interested in that and comparing it with the Samsung S Pen and others, then cut through to that and have a look. I got my Motivator goodie bag, and apparently there's one on the way to you as well, Joe. Arriving tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, I see an email saying something from Moto is coming tomorrow, so I'm assuming it's what you got, yeah. Which I'm quite excited about. Yeah. I love all that stuff.
Well, you like your football, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. I love free stuff.
Yeah. So there's a hoodie in there, there's a T-shirt, there's some hats, there's footballs, a flask, a fan, and just a whole bunch of stuff. But it's all, well, almost all of it is FIFA branded, because of the deal that they've done with the World Cup, Motorola, obviously. And so, yeah, some nice stuff in there. My favourite bit is the mini football. I think that's really neat and cute. Not that I'll probably ever play football again, but it's nice to have next to my rugby ball.
Yeah, it's nice.
One last thing that I wanted to say is that the Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus got One UI 8.5 at last, and hurrah, it does indeed include being able to remove the pill from behind the percentage, battery percentage in the status bar. And I've been waiting for that. It's just so much better, so much clearer. And, you know, we were talking earlier about the things that were copied from Apple that are good. Well, this is not one of them, because it's just really annoying. I couldn't see the thing in the status bar, but now it's as clear as day. So much better. Well done to Samsung for giving users the option to have the pill or not the pill. Hurrah! And let's get on now to the last two bits of the show, which are the photo of the week. And let's go with, hang on a minute. I need to explain that we decided, that we were going to do photo of the month and photo of the year as part of, PSC Photography Podcast. So while we'll continue to do photo of the week here on, PSC, we will not do the competition ones. We're going to shuffle that across to PSC Photography. And so don't expect for that to be covered here, but it does open up the door to, for us to choose whatever we want, in this, particular show, PSC. So I have chosen, a photograph by Ian Bundy called Micro Dog Selfie, which he took on an Honor Magic 8 Pro as well. So it's a picture of him with basically playing with layers, where he's put himself front and center in close to the phone, and got his dog a bit further away, so it looks very small, and it's kind of looking up at him and barking. And it's just a really interesting and creative photograph that I think Ian has thought about and executed really well. It's a nice photo, bit of fun, and a lovely blue sky. Any thoughts on that, either of you?
Yeah, I love this image. I really love it. He must have had someone else to help him. I think the dog's looking at a second person there in the background. But the composition's really good, and yeah, Ian's great with his photography. I love his stuff. And if you want to hear more about him, definitely check out that podcast, PSC Photography Podcast. And now it's in the same stream as this one is. Hopefully we'll get some more people listening.
Yeah, excellent. Mark, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah. No, I looked at it a few times, and I was thinking that the dog was just about to do a shake, you know, to get the water off. That's what I was thinking. And he's just captured the moment. But like you said with this one, Ted, you know, he's basically just done a fun shot right away, and it's a cheery one, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Definitely.
It's a cheery one. What was your pick, Mark?
So I picked the one, I think, what's he called it again, Ultra Sunday, and it was by Ian Bundy, and he was using an Oppo Find X9 Ultra, and it's basically a picture of two cars going round a racing track, but the way he's done the picture, he's got it at an angle as well, and I thought that was really good. That really stuck out, actually, just rather than a flat, you know, getting everything horizontal and that. He's actually put it at an angle, and that really caught it. But basically for me, I thought it was a stylish shot, plenty of atmosphere in it, and you know, it looks like a shot that's been taken in the 80s, you know, as well. So yeah, I thought that was an interesting shot, and also then obviously the illness kicked in, and then it was making me think, oh, I need to try one of the Oppo Find X's then, you know. You know, I'm gonna need to try that. But you know, no, it's a good, just I thought it was a good shot, good stylish shot with plenty of atmosphere.
It's a very nice photo, you're right, and Ian does take some great shots, and there's some heavy vignetting going on here as well, which adds to the whole atmosphere as well. And that, you're right, that angled is really good. Joe?
Yeah, it's another great shot, and this is more what we see from Ian quite often, but the edit's a bit different for him, as you say, with the vignette and the angle. So yeah, it's a great shot. And do you know what? I could have easily picked an Ian shot as well. You know, the car with Ian on the front.
Yeah.
But I didn't pick an Ian one. I thought, let's let someone else have some limelight. But just before I pick my one, Ian did say he actually prefers the cameras on the Oppo. Not to make you switch at all, Mark, but yeah, he actually prefers the camera on that. Not to say he didn't enjoy the 8 Pro, he says. But yeah.
I think most of the reviews that I've seen, Joe, they all kind of agree that the Oppo's definitely is right up there and probably ahead of Honor in that one. So yeah, man, I'm not surprised with that as well. You know,
but it's close.
But I just, It's close, but and you know, like I said, I just need something to set me over the edge, don't I? You know, and there we go. You know, but yeah.
Well, funny enough, this one comes from a phone that I'm very interested in, and it's taken on a Vivo X300 Ultra. It's Drops on a Leaf Somewhere in Cornwall by Andrew Martin. I know you love your macro as well, Ted. Mm. I love shots like this, especially the fact that it's come from a phone. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? The very shallow depth of field. I still have never seen a Vivo phone in my life. Never held one, never had one anywhere near me. But I'm hearing good things about it. Some of it from you in previous devices. But if it can do macro like that, that's really, really interesting, isn't it?
Stunning, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I definitely would love to get hands on with one of them. I think quite a few people in our community has got them. Between them and the Oppo Ultra, I think they're the two top phones, aren't they, at mm-hmm. the moment?
Mm-hmm. Mark, any thoughts?
This made me smile, guys. See, when I looked at both of your pictures, it made me smile because I looked at both of these pictures as well, and I was humming and hawing. Certainly that one, Joe, the close-up there, the macro, that it was great. It really was. And your one as well, Ted. You know, it's funny. It was just funny. But like I said, it made me smile when I looked in here and I seen both your pictures because I was over them as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good stuff. They were good shots.
Great
good shots
all right. So keep them coming, everyone. Let's get to classifiers before we wind this up. And I was going to pick, we spoke about the Honor Magic 7 Pro earlier. Well, Gaz Morris is still selling his, still trying to sell his, brand new and sealed in a box, not even open. This is the 1 terabyte 16 gigabyte version, global in black, case and charger, blah de blah de blah, £550, which is a bit of a bargain, I think. I know it's last year's Magic Pro, but it's still very, very capable, and it's brand new, sealed in a box, £550. Can't argue with that.
I don't know how it's not sold, Ted, for that money. And it's got the same 3D face unlock, which we've mentioned, is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Still got a very capable camera system. And 1 terabyte on it. It's a great phone.
Yeah, definitely. What was your pick?
My pick is going with sticking with Honor. It's a Magic Pad 3, brand new and sealed. Ashoka Pachuri, £325. I think that's a really good tablet. I mean, they've got a new one now, but this retailed at, I think, £499 originally. It's a decent tablet.
Cool. Very good. And yeah. Mark?
Just before I go into mine, those Magic Pads, they're brilliant. When I got that, the Magic Pro 8, basically they gave me a tablet with that as well, and it was just the basic one. How it's, I think it's about £150. I was so impressed with this. See the performance on it; it was fantastic. Gave it to my wife. But the Magic Pad is obviously a big step up from that. So that's a great price as well, and the fact that it's sealed. But I was really impressed with the performance on them. For my choice, I chose the S25 Ultra. It was in there. It was sitting at, I think he's got it at £550, and it's in immaculate condition. And I think he was saying the battery was at 99% or something. He's used it for a year, so that's quite a good price for a device like that. The S25 Ultra was excellent. It's a really good performer, that one. I liked it a lot, so that was choice.
Good. Okay, so that's the classifiers. If you want to join the classifiers, you'll have to email me and discuss it, because it is a closed members-only group, so you'll know my email address, and if you don't, then you don't deserve to join. phoneshowchat.uk is our website, 2 S's in the middle. Don't forget to head across there to catch up with all the stuff we're talking about and doing, including the the PSC Photography podcast now. You can buy me a coffee if you really would like to, and I'd be very grateful. That's at paypal.me/Ted Salmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. The PodHub UK I mentioned earlier has got all the links of all the stuff we do and what we where we go. And tedsalmon.com is where you'll find everything else if you get lost. All the audio podcasts, all the MeWe groups, all the rest of it. You'll want for nothing. There's a Projector Room podcast this week, so look out for that one, and we'll leave you to it. Thank you very much, Mark, for joining us. It's been great to chat with you again.
Thanks very much for having me, Ted and Joe. It's been great to be on again, and it's been great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
and Mark, now the photography podcast is including phones. You might be interested in being a guest on there at some point.
Yeah, I would love that. And obviously, and I've seen it open it up to drones as well, drone footage.
I've got
loads of drone footage. We do that quite a lot. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we were traveling up to Fort William. We did a couple of stops and got some drone footage. And I'm thinking that is absolutely excellent. Now we can, because I've took some great shots with the drone. So that would be good.
Well, Chris and Ian are going to be missing for a few weeks, and I think Charlie is as well. So we could certainly do with your input on that podcast. So we'll talk to you about that. So thanks very much. Okay, that's it then. We'll wind it up now, and thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next week. No, we won't. We'll catch you the week after when we've got our fourth Ted and Joe Go Live. So that'll be on the 8th of June, and we'll hope that you'll join us then and drop in. We'll do the usual thing, give you the link in the MeWe group during the day at some point, and then you can just drop in and natter with us about anything you like. We won't have any agendas or anything, so we hope that we'll chat with you then. So thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Take care.